That evening, Da came home as the table was being laid for a fry. He slammed the Roskillen Star down on the sofa and cursed, and his thick grey eyebrows scrunched together. "Was it a bad day at the garage, Malachy?" Mam said.
"No, we'd a fair bit of trade."
"So, what's eating you?"
"You've not heard the radio."
"Two more dead," he said, "after 61 days of starving."
"Mother of God."
"They're letting them all die. Bobby Sands was only the start."
"The maze is a place accursed."
"It's not the maze, woman. It's Long Kesh."
He plumped down on a chair. "The maze, Long Kesh, what's the difference?"
"You might as well call Britain the mainland, Pat."
Mam pulled out the table from the wall. "I've a fry done."
"Is that all you can say?"
Mam got the fold-up chairs for the girls and arranged them between the wall and table.
"Where are those two hoodlums?"
She went to the back door.
"Trace! Kath!"
she hollered. Then she arranged the last knife and fork at Da's place. "No point us starving too."
"Jesus! Women!"
"Okay! So the hunger strike's a tragedy. All over a few old clothes."
"It's not about clothes."
"It is about clothes."
"It's what the clothes mean, Pat. If you don't wear prison garb, you're a political prisoner. And if you're a political, you're not a petty criminal. And that's what the Brits make out they are.
What matter is it what they think?"
"Next you'll be saying your woman Thatcher Over's right to let them die."
"I'd never say that. She should let them wear what they want if it would stop the insanity. Now sit and have your tea."
Da grunted and sat down. Fergus joined him.
"I heard Uncle Tally say, the mainland, the other day, Da." "Was he having a rise?"
"Don't think so. He was just saying how he was planning a trip over later this summer."
Da chuckled.
"You'd be tarred and feathered out of Drumleesh if you were anyone else saying that but Tally. How he gets away with it's a mystery."
"Da, Uncle Tally and I, we found a body in the bog." He was just finishing the story of his day on the mountain when the girls burst through the back door.
"I'm famished," Teresa wailed. "Where have you been?"
Mam got their plates from where they'd been keeping warm under the grill. Fergus winked at the two of them.
"You're flushed like you've been running, Kath," he said.
"We were playing Save All with the Caseys," Teresa said. "And Kath saved Seamus. And then Seamus kissed her. And I saw him at it."
"You did not. I did. Whisht,"
Mam said.
"Eat your eggs before they set solid."
There was a silence as everyone ate. Da put down his knife and fork and looked over at Fergus.
"That was a strange day you had, Fergus. I wouldn't be surprised if that bog child of yours turned out not so old after all."
"Why do you say that?"
"I remember an old story about another body being found up there on the mountain. 40 years back or more. It was the wife of a local man. Up until then, he claimed she'd left him for another man and gone to England."
"A body?" said Teresa, her eyes wild with excitement. "Did you find a body, Fergus?"
"I did."
He'd to tell the story all over again.
"I want to go and see it, Mam. Da, can I, please?"
"And me,"
said Kath.
"You can't, either of you," Mam said.
"Oh, but
no buts."
"We saw the Caseys' granda when he was laid out, didn't we, Kath?"
"Yes, he was all waxy."
Da thumped the table.
"No buts, like your mother says."
"This is a child maimed and murdered, not a dacent body."
There was silence. Kat's face was an image of tragic loss, while Teresa made a grimace that would curdle cream.
"What do you make of the hunger strikers, Fergus?" Da said to change the subject. Fergus speared a sausage.
"They're very committed," he said.
"I couldn't do it." He munched on the meat and swallowed. "I wouldn't last a day without food."
"Thank God Joe's not part of it," Mam said.
Da nodded.
"It's an odd thing when you thank God for your son not having to make a sacrifice like that."
Mam grunted.
"Sacrifice? Some sacrifice."